Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back, 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you've been listening already, thanks for that. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. 800-531-3815, toll free coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter. Comes every week by email. We're almost to getting ready to start our fifth year. We were just about finishing up 4 years with our letter. And we're just about ready to start our seventh year on the air in a couple of weeks. And one of the people who's helped us an awful lot over this last several years is our good friend Steve Del Bianco, who's our guest this half hour. Steve is vice president of the Association for Competitive Technology and one of the best minds in the Brain Trust, which is a pretty hefty list there, as you probably know. And so to say something like that is a high compliment. But he's our good friend, Steve Del Bianco. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. It's great to be here, and congratulations on the Office Depot bringing them into the list of sponsors.
Well, thanks. Of course, they're now in with us for the second year. They've come on with us for the second year, but I do want to thank you for your steadfastness and your abiding support for me and for my organization and for my audience and all the things that we do here together. You and your organization, the Association for Competitive Technology, you and Jonathan Zook have been great supporters of us, and we really appreciate that.
I think we make a great team together, Jim, right?
Absolutely.
Work together, right? Like your opening segment said, you just do everything I say, we'll be a great team.
That's exactly right. Just do everything I say. And you guys have done a good job with that, too, by the way. No complaints on this. And what's the news in the world of technology?
I just thought there were two things we could discuss this morning. One is the case that's going on in the European Commission, and the other, something happening in the Senate today of the U.S. Congress, which is a decision on whether to extend a moratorium on access, Internet access taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Might start with the European Commission, if that's all right with you.
Sure. Tell us. Let's go back now. This is an extension of the. Is this an extension of the U.S. v. Microsoft case? But it's only in Europe.
Basically, it is.
Yeah.
Two companies, Sun Microsystems and Real Networks. Everybody knows these two American companies.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1998, took their complaint and basically copied what they were complaining about here and brought it over to the European Commission. And the European Commission, which is the governmental body for the European Union, has its own antitrust division, the Competition Directorate.
Mm-hmm.
So that first complaint was filed in 1998, and then the European Commission issued some what they call statements of objections in 2001 and another one in just 2 months ago. And my organization, the Association for Competitive Technology, is accepted as a third party as well. So we've been submitting comments, and they're confidential, but submitting comments to the European Commission, or EC,
an amicus brief type of thing?
In a sense, but we didn't have lawyers write it, Jim. Mm-hmm. The good news is programmers and public policy people like me got a chance to write it.
Real world folks.
People in the real world. Although the real world seems to be a world away from what the European Commission thinks exists right now. They have taken such an incredibly narrow understanding of the markets that it led them to come up with a remedy that would just amaze you. And I can discuss that remedy since that's been in the press mm-hmm. in the month of September.
All right. And first, what I want to do for a minute here, Steve, is I'd like for you to explain, and I'll help you if I can, why this is something that people in the United States, small business owners in the United States, should care about. Why? I mean, there's got to be somebody sitting out there thinking, you know what, I just want my Word program to work. I want my Excel program to work. Why do I care what's happening in Europe? Well, how would you answer that?
Well, they used to say, right, when the U.S. sneezes, the world catches cold, right?
Right.
But I think that in this case, if the European Union gets their way, they're gonna give us a cold. Because they've actually got a remedy on the table that requires that Microsoft change the way Microsoft Windows XP is configured for Europe. But when you think about it, Microsoft is not likely to restrict its changes just to the European version. Mm-hmm. They have a worldwide version of their software.
Right.
There are multiple languages, but it's still a worldwide version of their software. So things that the European Union requires of Microsoft are likely to show up on our desktops as well.
Well, and the reason why it's important to talk about this, folks, whether you like Microsoft or not, you know, even the attorneys who were fighting tooth and nail in Washington against Microsoft in the U.S. v. Microsoft case were tapping out their briefs and their statements and their opinions on their laptops on Windows operating systems using Word. And, you know, and they were organizing cases by Excel spreadsheet probably. And so, you know, even people who don't like Microsoft use Microsoft. So regardless, you know, they're ubiquitous. They're pretty darn ubiquitous around the world, and it's something we need to pay attention to. We're going to talk about this some more right after these messages. 22. Stay with us. We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we'll be talking about what Kiplinger has to say is going on in the world around us this week and maybe even next year. Well, they usually look into their crystal ball a little bit, and we'll be talking about that coming up in the next hour. Steve DelBianco is our guest and our good friend. He's the Vice President of the Association for Competitive Technology. And Steve, you were just about to tell us what the European organization that's the counterpart to our antitrust division. Maybe that was a slip there, a Freudian slip. It really is a kind of anti-trade sometimes. But what they're doing to Microsoft and in this case that they've got. Go ahead.
Well, you know, antitrust, anti-trade, maybe anti-American is really the best way to characterize what they're about right now. But they've taken two American companies, Sun and Real, and taken their complaints against Microsoft and turned them into what they think is a remedy. And I can only discuss what's been put in the press so far, because it's a five-year investigation with hundreds of pages. But basically, they say that the Windows Media Player that shows up with Microsoft Windows has an illegal advantage because it's shipped with Windows. And they've given Microsoft two potential ways to solve this, what they consider to be illegal act. They either want them to stuff a whole bunch of other media players in there along with Microsoft's media player. So they have to, it's called the must-carry remedy. Mm-hmm. So you must carry it. And they've discussed how Real Networks would get its program stuck on every single copy of Windows, and Microsoft would have to work with Real to make sure they ship it along.
So this is comparable to you making shoes and the courts telling you that every time you deliver a load of shoes to your stores, to your customers, you've also got to deliver some of your competitors' shoes.
Yeah, and their socks too, maybe. And you got to wait until their shoes and socks are ready to ship before you can ship. And you're basically going to be responsible for handling customer complaints if customers think the product was shipped and maintained by you.
Well, let me tell you a real-world thing that happened to me recently. And it's happened twice this year, but it only happened, you know, I just did this a week ago. I got in a new machine. I've told you before, it's an IBM T41, brand new wireless laptop, a ThinkPad, and it has Windows 2000 XP Professional on it, just like my other one did. Well, as you know, Steve, I use Real Media Player for most of my audio streaming because I was doing audio streaming before Microsoft had a player.
And it's a great player.
Yeah, it's a great player. So theirs was there, and it was the default player. I'm not exactly a computer wizard. All I did was go to Real, downloaded their program, and went over and made it the default player. And it took about I took about 8 minutes.
My goodness, Jim, because the people in the European Commission seem to conclude that there's a foreclosure of distribution, that people aren't smart enough to just click on the Real website and download the product.
I didn't even think about it.
They say that people can't get it because it's not shipped with Windows.
I didn't even think about it. It didn't occur to me. Even, you know what, now that I think back, Steve, even though, how many times have you and I covered this Microsoft case in the last 3 or 4 years, the U.S. case and the European case, I don't even remember feeling that Microsoft had done anything wrong but deliver a product that they had. I personally didn't want it to be my default player. And guess what? If I have an opportunity to play the media player, the Microsoft media player, if something is offered in that, it comes up automatically.
Yeah, but if something comes down in Reels format, Jim, doesn't Reel come up automatically?
Absolutely.
Sure does.
Yeah.
So it was transparent and trivial for you to download the media player of your choice from the vendor who provides it. So you
That's
got
right.
the very latest version. You got to register as a user, and it works perfectly, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So somebody needs to demonstrate that to the European Commission. And in fact, Jonathan Zook, president of ACT, is on his way to Brussels this weekend, and he'll be there next week to testify in the hearing they're having in the case. So I hope we're going to be able to make that point. Maybe we'll use you as the poster child of
I could go to Brussels next week. I could do that. Let me know. Well, seriously, I mean, you know, I guess you'd call me an advanced user. I've been on computers since 1975. So, so maybe I'm an advanced user, but I'm not exactly a techie. You know that. And so I just did what I knew how to do. I said, I want that program to be on my desktop in addition to the one that Microsoft, that came with the... with the Microsoft operating system.
And, but if it's as easy as you said, and the European Commission became convinced that that was so, the rest of their case collapses like a house of cards.
Yeah.
In other words, if there's no foreclosure, if there's no difficulty at obtaining the player of your choice, then there's actually no illegal action on the part of Microsoft by shipping their own along with Windows.
Now, I'll tell you, Steve.
Case closed, right?
You're exactly right. And now, if I had gotten any kind of, if I'd had any kind of hassle, if it refused, if it was like some of these annoying pop-ups, if it refused to let me do it, or if I had to jump through some hoops or go turn a bunch of stuff off or whatever, that would be different. But it wasn't. I mean, it was so easy that I didn't even think about them trying to foreclose me from using the other program.
It makes you wonder what they're thinking about over there, doesn't it?
Well, you mentioned the anti-Americanism thing. That's got to the politics between Europe and America these days. It's in bananas, it's in beef, it's in vegetables, it's in software. I mean, there's a lot of anti-Americanism over there. And Steve, help me remember something. About 50 something years, about 60 years ago, weren't they kind of in a jam, and didn't some country go to their aid and help them out over there? I'm trying to remember. What country was that that did that? Do you remember?
That's so true.
Sorry, folks, if my sarcasm can be cut with a knife, but I can't help it. It's 10.
But you know what? Some of this.
Hold on, Steve.
We gotta
sell some stuff, and I'll stop. I'll get off my soapbox. Tintail, stay with us, folks. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around today. 800-531-3815. Steve Del Bianco is our guest, Vice President of the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org, actonline.org. That's their website. I encourage you to go there and check it out if you want to find out some of the public policy issues that are very important for small business owners and small business technology companies. That's where you go to find the information, and they do good work. Steve, you want to tell us a little bit about NetChoice?
NetChoice is a coalition, and it's not just e-commerce companies like Orbitz, eRealty, and eBay. It also includes about 20,000 online consumers who join the coalition for free, and that just enables us to reach out to them and motivate them when we need them to contact their legislators whenever barriers to e-commerce show up in their own states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's www.netchoice.org.
And Steve is the director of that organization. Steve, let's talk about the Internet Access Tax Moratorium. There are two Internet tax issues out there right now, folks, and I always want to make sure that we separate these. One is the sales tax issue, which is a whole other issue, but the one that's coming up actually for a vote today, if I understand this correctly, Steve, and that's the Internet Access Tax Moratorium.
Precisely. And the focus there is on what folks pay every month to access the Internet. That bill that you receive, whether it's from mm-hmm. America Online or your cable company, DSL, satellite provider, that's what you call your Internet access bill. It's $20 a month if you're dial-up, and it's maybe $40 or $45 a month.
And right now there's no tax on that, like a $250 or whatever tax you have for, you know, if you look at your phone bill and you see all these little taxes in there, 17 cents and $2 and whatever, that's not on your dial-up, is it, or your DSL?
It's not, and it's sort of ironic that those little taxes you just talked about on your telephone bill, you know, that nationwide the average is $10 per month. That stuff adds up. It's federal, mm-hmm. state, local taxing, mm-hmm. that a little bit here and a little bit there, but it's about $10 a month nationally. Now, $10 a month, if you've been paying it for several years, it may become something you become used to. Let's suggest that a moratorium that exists in the federal government says that state and local may not impose taxes on Internet access, and that moratorium expired last Friday. So the effort in Congress now is to extend that moratorium, and the question is whether they can extend it and for how long. Mm-hmm. So the House of Representatives said, let's make it permanent. Well, nothing's really permanent in Congress. They could change their mind any time, but at least they don't have to have a date certain that it expires. And the Senate is debating the same bill today, and it will be a struggle to get this extended in the U.S. Senate today.
The people that we've talked about on this recently, in the last month or so, Steve, we've covered this a couple of times. The other folks seem to think that it's going to happen. What is your take on it?
We did a press conference with five senators and congressmen just yesterday, and we were one of five tech organizations up there supporting the moratorium. They've said that the amendments that we'll see today are amendments that will try to shorten the period of the moratorium. I've heard 4 months. I've heard 1 year. And other amendments that will try to narrow the definition of the stuff that can be tax mm-hmm. exempt.
But the idea...
It's all being pushed by, in this case, state tax administrators, state mm-hmm. tax commissioners, mm-hmm. who Senator Allen called them the avaricious commissioners, who are anxious and pretty transparent that what they'd like to do is to raise taxes. And I would suggest that this is about the worst time and in the worst way to raise taxes.
Yeah.
About 30% of U.S. homes use broadband Internet today.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad news is that lower-income households, only 4%. Have mm-hmm. broadband. For these families, another survey found that three-quarters of them didn't have broadband because they thought it was too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But an increase of $10 a month on a $40 broadband bill is a 25% increase.
That's prohibitive. No question about it. We need these people to get online so that we can close this digital divide. Steve, I want to change subjects real quick. I've got about 30 seconds. Of the nine candidates for president on the Democrat side, who would be the best one for tech?
Joe Lieberman.
Okay. Good deal. How come?
I think he really gets it. And if you watch him on the campaign trail, he never takes his thumbs off his BlackBerry.
Well, so you think he's not only from a political standpoint, but from a practical standpoint?
I do. Yeah. And that's just my personal opinion. We're not our organization's not taking any position on candidates at this point.
Not yet. Okay. That's good information. Thank you for that. Steve DelBianco, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure being on.
See you next time. Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen, with the Association for Competitive Technology. Don't forget, that's actonline.org. Check them out and give them some support. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.